Isn't it wonderful that you and I can sit down together and hear and meditate and think about the Word of God and the wonderful revelation He has given to us in the Scriptures? How glad I am that God has not left us to our own ingenuity or to our own mentality. God has given to us the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The revelation of His person and His purpose is given to us in the Scriptures. The Spirit of God has come to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And so it's a real joy for me. I get a real blessing just sitting down here and talking to you about the wonderful things of Christ. Do you know, I received a card the other day and kind of tickled me in a way. And I'm going to report this to you, where this dear brother who wrote to me said, words similar to this effect. He said, "You must have one foot already in heaven." I'm glad he didn't say one foot already in the grave, but one foot already in heaven. Well, it may be so. I know I'm bound for heaven. I know what the Lord has in store for us through eternity, and He's revealed this to us in the Word of God. I just trust that your heart is full of love for Him, your Savior and your Lord. Now we come to the last great division of the book of Ephesians, which we've been studying for quite a while, the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to take the time this morning to read from verse 10 through verse 18. Here you have our warfare. Did you know that the Christian is in a warfare? He's always at war. As long as we're on the earth, we have three implacable enemies. We have a real war going on. And believe me, it's a real war. But I'll take care to you too. The war is going to be won. He's guaranteed that. We might lose one or two battles, but the war is going to be won. We're going to be victorious. As Paul could say in Romans chapter 8, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, let me read Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let me just stop here. Here you have this great picture of our warfare. I would suggest the 27th Psalm someday to your thinking. When you read this 6th chapter of Ephesians, read the 27th Psalm. And 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, you remember, it says, we ought to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And no man goes to warfare at his own charges. And a man who goes to warfare is a separated man. And if I were to take the time to go into 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, you remember that great passage, where a good soldier is one who endures hardness, he's obedient, he's a separated man, he's a marked out man, and victory is guaranteed. Who wouldn't want to be a soldier of Jesus Christ? Enduring hardness, that means the path may be rough, you've got to be strengthened up and fitted for the task of warfare. I'm afraid in these days too many Christians just lying down on the job. They're not facing the warfare that's before them. And the result is they're not taking a stand for the Savior. They claim it costs too much. No, my friend, it costs you more not to take a stand for the Savior. Hence, endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And a good soldier is an obedient soldier. That's one of the first lessons you learn when you go out to boot camp. Learn to be obedient. That's what boot camp's for. When you go into war, the government calls you up, you go to boot camp. You learn to be hard. That is, physically hard. You learn to be obedient. You don't question your officers. You obey when he speaks. And if I'm a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I'll be an obedient soldier. And then a soldier, a separated man. He's one who's left his home. He leaves his job. He leaves his family. And he goes into the army, or whatever it may be, into the armed forces of our country. He's a separated man. He leaves the past and goes into a new way of living. I tell you, my friends, would to God that we had some real soldiers of Jesus Christ today. Separated men unto God. Men of God, filled with the word of God, obedient men. Men who know something of the path that's rough. To face up to the issues of the day. To face up to the antagonisms and the wiles of the devil. And to be able to stand in a world that has no place for him. Obedient, separated men. If I were to go back to your Old Testament, you'd remember the very first step in a walk with God is separation unto him. It's a strange thing in this day that Christians are afraid of the word separation. Yet, my friend, the impossibility of a Christian going on with God without separation. You go to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, or Acts chapter 7, where the God of glory appeared unto Abraham and said, "Get out." And he got out. He obeyed, not knowing where he went. If you follow through every part of the life of this man Abraham, or the life of Moses, or the life of David, or the life of Elijah, Jeremiah, follow it through. Paul, Peter, all of them. The very first step with God is a step of separation. And until I'm separated unto God, I'll not be found very usable. In fact, we need to hold ourselves available to God that he might find us usable. So I say, a good soldier is one who is a separated man. And he's a marked out man. You take him a Marine going down the street in his dress uniform, you don't question what he is. He's a Marine. If he belongs to the Air Corps, he's got that which marks him out as a man who's a pilot or works with the Air Corps. Or if he's a sailor, if he's in the Navy, he wears a special uniform. You know he belongs to the Navy. Why shouldn't we as Christians be marked men and marked women? I remember one time, and you don't mind me telling you this, of a Mr. Harvey Farmer of Africa had come home. And he was in Great Britain. He was going down the streets, the Strand of London. And they have there these what they call pork shops, where you go in and you order a hamburger. Or wouldn't be a hamburger, but a hot sandwich where you get either beef or pork, roast beef, roast pork. And standing outside, looking in the window, with the steam rolling up from these big pork and beef roasts, was a little ragamuffin boy on the street. Dirty, ragged, hungry, and his face was up against the window just looking at these wonderful buns and wonderful meat. And Mr. Farmer, as he saw this little fella, came to him and said, "Sonny, would you like one of those sandwiches?" He said, "Oh, Governor, would I? He says, "Come on in." And he took the little fella in, and he said to the man, "I want you to give him the biggest bun you've got. Put in some, dip it well in the gravy, and you put in not only a little bit of beef, but you put some beef in and a good slice of pork, and give it to this boy, and I'll pay the extra." So the little fellow stood with his eyes bulging as this man cut off meat and put it between the bun and handed it over to the boy. And before the little fellow took a bite of that wonderful sandwich, he turned up and looked up to Mr. Farmer with the tears running down his cheeks, and he said, "Governor, be you God?" My, I couldn't help but think of that. This little fellow had been used to being smitten and buffeted and kicked round on the streets, living in the gutter, And here a man comes and does a little sweet favor for him. And he thought he was God. Oh, that we had Christians today. As we walk among men and women, there'll be some manifestation that we belong to the Savior, that we're good soldiers, marked out men and women for God. Among your neighbors, in your family, wherever you are, where you work, do they know you belong to the Savior? Are you a marked out man? I like this word of Paul in 2 Timothy 2. Therefore, be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And no man who goes to war goes at his own charges. Of course not. If I might be allowed, I just feel like reading you that verse. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. As far as I want to go, except to say a little later, he goes on and he says, remember, Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Ah, the captain is Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Man's greatest and last enemy has been defeated. I said a while ago, victory is guaranteed. Of course it is. The captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, has not only put away our sin, but he has defeated Satan and he's defeated death and the grave, guarantees eternal resurrection life to those who put their trust in him. Now, in view of that, let us be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I would like you to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Will you do that for me, for yourself, for tomorrow? And we'll start in our next lesson on our enemy. Do you know we've got power? We have an enemy. We have armor. And we have some resources. God hasn't left us to our own ingenuity. Oh, no. He has made the provision for all that we need for personal victory, for personal deliverance. My, what a Savior we have. He's the captain of our salvation. Remember Hebrews chapter 12? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, or, as one version puts it, the captain of our salvation. Friends, read that Ephesians 6 through. And today, may you be a real testimony for the Lord in your family, among your neighbors, and among your friends. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.